For our weekly look at the cattle market trends now, we turn to a livestock economist out of Iowa State University. A pleasure once again to talk with Lee Schultz. Lee, we've several interesting items to pick up on this week, but let's start with a quick look back at the trade this past week. And in the Southern Plains anyway, fed cattle prices were hard to pin down, to say it that way.
Well, you know, if we look at overall cash prices, we did take a bit of a step back this week compared to the prior week where we did see a bit of a resurgence. You know, I think that's really tying it to the futures. Really couldn't maintain much support there, and we did see it lower on the week. What I think that's really setting up this week is really a do-or-die week. When we look at, you know, we've seen that recent resurgence, are we looking at maybe a correction in the market, or are we really looking at what was maybe just a short-term rally, and we'll see prices weaken a bit as we go in the next couple weeks.
So what's your inclination on that question? Is it, in fact, a short-term rally that we enjoyed the week before last, or will we see this market find its footing once again?
Well, I think that is the million-dollar question. You know, I think when we look at fundamentally, we are in decent shape. I think it's not real clear, several factors. You know, I think there is some precedent when we look at a rally into the fourth quarter. Typically, we see a bit of a rally in boxed beef prices in October and November. I think we may be a little bit early for that yet, but that could help maybe support that a little bit. Also, if we look at the cattle on feed report, that was a neutral to maybe a bit bearish, so we shouldn't see a major movement from that.
Well, let's dig a little deeper into that USDA monthly cattle on feed report released Friday afternoon. It was pretty much even keel with pre-report expectations, with the possible exception of placements leaning toward the high side of that expectation range, correct?
I think you hit it right on the head there. Really, not many surprises. The one may be placements, but I think it is important to put that into context. Pretty wide range on pre-report expectations of those placements. And also realizing that there was two extra days. If you look at it, two extra slaughter days, two extra marking days, or two extra placement days in this August period compared to August of the previous year. Usually when we look at marketings, that's worth about 5% per day. So while you looked at marketings being up 17.6%, right around maybe about 7% given when we adjusted for a daily rate. That is still a very good sign. We are staying much more current than year-ago levels, being that we are up 17.5% or even 7% when we look at it at, from a daily rate. Placements, you know, we know there are more feeder cattle available. You know, I think those are likely to come even stronger as we get to the next several months. As we know, there's a lot of cattle out there. Still good forage conditions, so I think maybe that's delayed a bit this year. Also, we know that a lot more heifers have been going into the cattle feeding sector, where we've seen the last couple of years maybe more two-way heifers could go into breeding, could go into cattle on feed. I think a lot of those are more tending towards those cattle on feed.
But in the main, your perspective on this report and the general signals out there is that feedlots are in a good current state and are likely to be so for quite some time?
Well, I think, you know, especially when you look to compared to last year, much more current. If you look at those cattle on feed, over 120 days, we're about 9% below last year. We still are a bit higher than 2013 and 2014. When you look at steer weights, we were down 16 pounds compared to the same time last year, which really would suggest pretty current on those marketings. I think we've cleaned up a lot of those front-end supplies. We've had some pretty large slaughter weeks over the last several months, which really has helped clean up those front-end supplies.
There was also a cold storage report released by the USDA, giving us a little more information on the supply side. What did it have to say?
And when I like to look at cold storage, you know, I don't think it's hugely conducive to prices. It really helps us look at changing short-term supply and demand conditions. And there's a lot of reasons we can see that short-term changes. If you look overall, cold storage for the beef complex was up 1.3%. A bit surprising given that usually in August and September we see those supplies decline on a seasonal basis. But I think with them being up, realizing we've seen some rather large slaughter levels over the last several months, not all that surprising. Where the increase has come from is in the boneless product, being up over 2%. Actually, when we look at cuts, we're down year over year. And then when you look at where those cold storage stocks are, largest increase is really in the Mid-Atlantic region. You know, at first glance, you may say, well, that's for export product, but a lot of our exports go out of the West. Mm-hmm. But I think really that's packers, processors taking advantage of some low prices, as we've seen the last several months here, and really building those stocks for use as we go into the winter.
Well, you mentioned exports, and the newsmaker last week was the announcement, formal announcement by China, that it intends to reopen its market for U.S. beef. It's not across the board. Cattle have to be 30 months of age or younger before that beef can be allowed into China. Of course, restrictions have been in place since that BSE incident way back in 2003. But how you read this news and the importance of that Chinese market, what are your thoughts, Lee?
Well, most of the impact when we look at it is definitely long run. You know, there was one maybe very short-term impact. Really, if we do look back at the futures prices, Wednesday across the board, we did see live cattle up. And really, I think that was the impetus for this good news as far as, you know, future demand. Anytime, you know, possible increase of market access, that does help the market. And I think that really points to the market's looking for positive news. You know, as we talked about, is this a short-term rally or maybe a correction? I think the market is looking for some of that positive news. And we did see that in the announcement last Wednesday. You know, when we go to look at the long-term impacts of this, you know, I think there's still a lot that's unknown. Really, what those traceability and quarantine requirements are going to be for beef products going to China. Right now, I mean, I think we could speculate on some of that. Some of that is looking at hormone growth promotants would not be allowed, and so that would limit some of the trade. We see that in the pork trade with ractopamine. And so I think until really a lot of that's hashed out, we don't know how much of a market this is for the U.S. Also, the timing of that, too. We've seen in the past some of these announcements being made, and, you know, we don't get really the details and for some time. So I think we're still speculating on what those requirements are going to be and how long this process is going to take before we can move some product into China.
Well, the details will be fleshed out over time, as you're saying. As a producer out there, especially a cow-calf producer, thinking what this means for the long pull, would you see this news impacting expansion plans, rekindling that expansion that has sort of retracted here of late?
You know, I think this is much longer run than some of those decision producers are making. If you look at a lot of our, you know, estimates, long-run estimates, those are really pointing to overall pretty bullish on the export front. And I think, you know, this announcement doesn't change that all that much. It may be larger over time. But I think really when we're looking at the impact of expansion, at least in the short term here, we're focusing on some of the fundamentals we've been facing over the last several months. And we've seen producers react to that as we've seen increased cow slaughter, we've seen increased heifer slaughter. And so I think producers are definitely honing in on more of those, what factors are impacting me now, as opposed to maybe those longer run bullish on the export market.
Well, again, as we look to the trading week before us, will we see more encouraging news than we saw last week? What are you thinking there?
Well, I think, you know, one encouraging news is, you know, we did see a bit of a slower slaughter week, less slaughter than the larger levels we've been seeing the previous weeks. Mm-hmm. I think that did show some packers' willingness to really slow down some of that slaughter, especially when we look at Saturday. You know, does that give a boost to prices, especially as we've seen confirmation that those front-end supplies are pretty well cleaned up? And looking at that boxed beef trade, not much movement at all last week, but has stayed stable. And we are getting into that period where we are do typically see a seasonal increase. If that comes maybe a little bit earlier this year, we could see some support in the fed cattle trade. As far as the feeder cattle trade, when we really look at the futures market, they are incentivizing marketing those calves now. There is quite a premium if you look at the September contract compared to the October, really due to producers' marketings. We've seen them delay that a bit due to forage conditions, due to really the demand for heavier weight cattle. And so I think really understanding, you know, where producers stand as far as their cost of gain, adding additional weight to those calves are very important compared to what we're seeing for future prices.
Hey, Lee, thanks for the comments right here, as always, and we will catch up with you here once more in a few weeks. Appreciate your time.
Thanks again.
He is Lee Schultz and a livestock economist with Iowa State University.